Hallelujah. Father, we are so excited and thankful for the blessing of this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, who said you couldn't come at 7 a.m.? You see that you've come. Fantastic. Now, I want to just share with you about the use of the weapon of wisdom. The weapon of wisdom to cut off the enemy and make him vanish. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of wisdom. Amen. And that is what is going to be our great strength in dealing with the enemy. The Spirit of wisdom. Isaiah 59, verse 19. What does it say? So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, his glory. And when the enemy comes like a flood, amen, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard. The Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard. The word standard means to cause something to vanish. God is going to cause your enemies, and what is an enemy, to disappear. Amen. Now, how is the Lord going to do that? Again, things that are not flashy, many times we don't like them or we don't see them as powerful. Wisdom is one of the things that doesn't look powerful when you say wisdom. But wisdom is the master key to many of the things that we desire. So all of us must desire to have the wisdom of God. The Holy Spirit, Isaiah 11, verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom. So the Holy Spirit is almost equivalent to wisdom, the Spirit of wisdom, okay? Like things to do with the mind. In this world, those who know things rule over those who don't know things. Yeah? Those who know how to make cars rule over those who just harvest tomatoes. You are selling pepper and oranges, and somebody is selling iPhones. Who is going to be rich and who's going to be poor? So the one who knows how to make a Toyota and who knows how to make a Mercedes-Benz is ruling. Mercedes-Benz, they've been making it for a long time. Mercedes-Benz was the car that Hitler used. Adolf Hitler. That was his car. Invented by a Jew. Yes, first Benz, a Jew. First car was made by a Jew in the world. You will never know the meaning of a blessing. So you study the Jews and you understand what they are. So, wisdom is the master key to becoming what God wants you to become, and especially causing the enemies that keep your head from coming up. In Zechariah chapter 1, we saw that there were horns that were there to cause that no one should lift up his head. Your head will be lifted up. And the wisdom of God is the master key to the mighty works that God has for you. Mark chapter 6, Jesus said, they spoke about Jesus, verse 2. They said, well, what wisdom is this which is given to him? Do you see? That even such mighty works are wrought by his hand. Mighty works are the result of wisdom or a certain way of thinking. If you like, don't use the word wisdom. Maybe you are so used to the word wisdom. So use the way, a way of thinking. I have a way of thinking which is probably different from your way of thinking. And that way of thinking causes me to do things that you may not do. Let's say, like, even coming at 7 a.m. If we were to have our way, we would come at 7 a.m. every day. If we had had our way, not at 11 or 12. Yes. So there is a way of doing things. You may go for a mortgage. You may go for a loan. Somebody says, I'll build small, small. I'll use it when it's not even completed. I'll struggle through life little by little. I'll use an old car. I wouldn't just stay in a small room. And that is just the way you think. I don't need to impress you. Somebody says, I need to show you my big house with my big living room and my big swimming pool and my garden so that you really know that I'm a prosperous man. Everybody thinks differently. And the way you think causes you to either do mighty works or not to do mighty works. The way you think about even marriage makes you do mighty works or not. So many people may have been married, but the way they thought or the way they think does not allow a lady to stay close to them, a man. Stay. Some people's way of thinking is unmarriageable. They can't marry. I see it more. You see the person, realize that the person cannot marry because the way the person doesn't have the wisdom for marriage. You need a lot of wisdom to marry and to stay married. Yeah. A lot of things in marriage. And it's different. Christian marriage is different from unbeliever marriage. So, what wisdom is this which is given to him? So that wisdom I'm talking about is not something that you earn yourself, but it's also something that is given to you by God. So when you want to follow somebody, you have to follow his wisdom. Like, how does a person think? If you are a lady and you want to get married, ask yourself, how do those who get married, how do they think? Yeah, how do they think? You see somebody, you say that, oh, this man, I'm taller than him, so I can't marry him. And somebody will say, I don't mind if he's taller than me. You get what I'm saying? Yes, I don't mind if he's taller than me. It's a way of thinking. Yes. One day in our church, a man who was a cripple proposed to a sister in the church. I've seen a number of cripples marrying ladies. And they all just married. Oh, yeah. There's a way of thinking. Yeah. That makes them marry. And somebody will have someone who is not a cripple propose to them. And they say, oh, no. It's, oh, how? They even say, how? Me? This? they just make nonsense of you. The man has two legs. And you make nonsense of him. And somebody comes with one leg with the braces. I said, will you marry me? He said, I'll marry you. She says, yes, immediately. It's a way of thinking. I spoke to a lady who has been married for many years. She said to me, as for me, my mind was that. She said, before I married, I said, anybody who likes me, I like him. That was how her mind was working. That's her wisdom. Yes. Anybody who likes me, I like it because, and she said that the Bible says that when a man finds a wife, so if somebody has found, it's not my duty to find somebody. If somebody has found me, then I've been found. That's it. That's how she. I've not heard that wisdom before, but that is her wisdom. But some people, when you come, I love you, I want to marry, they look at you up and down. What? Me? You want to marry you? You want to marry me? Check yourself well. So, brothers and sisters, you need wisdom. Now, this wisdom is not something you learn in school. It's the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you read from about verse 1. I did not come to you with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring the testimony of God. Okay? I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ. I wanted to talk about Jesus Christ. I didn't come with what you may call wisdom. Verse 3. I was with you in weakness, in fear. You may have even thought I was not powerful. Verse 4. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Words like financial engineering, marketplace. One time I was asked to preach about a marketplace. Look, it was the most difficult. I kept asking about 20 times, what is the meaning of marketplace? I don't understand it. After now, I don't understand marketplace something. These are enticing words of man's wisdom. But in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. So by the time he finishes verse 4, you think that Paul there, he's a fool, like no wisdom at all. He doesn't use wisdom, only, spiritual things. Then he goes on, verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. So all this letting you think this man is not into like thinking. You get it? Verse 6. How be it? Now he now changes his tone. He says, how be, even though I said what I said about wisdom, I want you to know that we speak wisdom amongst those who are mature or perfect. But not the wisdom of the world. Not of the princes of this world that come to naught. So there are types of wisdom. There are types of thinking. Types of wisdom. There are some islands in the Caribbean. Women hardly get married. I know somebody who worked there. He said, for years I was there, I never saw a child as a teacher. Never saw a child with two parents on the island. Only the mother. They don't get married. Difficult to marry. Cannot marry. Never saw one in the school. All the ladies there and the men have a way of thinking. When we went to South Africa first, nobody was getting married. When you go to South Africa, a lot of people are not married. In the South, they don't marry. Just children, but no marriage. It's a way of thinking. But in Ghana, more people marry. Yes, more marry. It's a way of thinking. Not that they are not beautiful or they are not handsome. They are all beautiful, very beautiful. One man said the only thing that he fears is a South African woman. I mean, because they are so beautiful to him. So this is the only thing he's afraid of in the world. A Ghanaian, he said, the only thing I'm afraid of is a South African woman. Hey! Anyway, let's go on. So, verse 7. He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So it's like this way of thinking is mysterious. It's what? Mysterious. This type of wisdom, which God ordained before the world began unto our glory. Like, this kind of wisdom is the wisdom that is ordained for your beautification. You become nice through this way of thinking. Did you get it? See this verse. It's one of the most important verses in the whole Bible. Because it differentiates as far from the east as from the west, the wisdom of men and the wisdom of God. The wisdom of man will never tell you to give. The wisdom of man will say, get all you can and can all you get. The wisdom of God will say, give and it shall be given unto you. It's completely mysterious. That's why it's called the hidden wisdom of God. That is why when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things which people are dying for shall be added unto you. If somebody asks me, what is my secret of prosperity? Because I'm prosperous by the grace of God. What is the secret? My secret is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. This is my formula. Follow God, seek for God, work for God, do everything for God, and everything you have belongs to God, and use everything for God. This is all that I do. It continues to make me prosperous when people are trying to do the opposite. So God, in this conference, is trying to bring to your mind a foreign way of thinking. Like, it's foreign to you. This is what people don't realize, that you can adopt a new way, a new mentality, a new way of thinking, completely different from how you were brought up and how you are. Even the church you are, the background, everything. It's a completely new way of thinking about things. And when you get that way of thinking, you start to do mighty works like Jesus did. All the people who God used, like who became national heroes, had some kind of fantastic wisdom. Yeah. If you take a person like Daniel. I mean, in Daniel chapter 5, I think verse 8 or 9, somewhere there, he says, is this man going to help me? Yeah. Yes, they couldn't find the wisdom. Yes. So in verse 9 and 10, and the queen, yes, the wife of the king came and said to Belshazzar, there was a problem in Belshazzar's palace. Elhan had appeared. So the queen got up and said, look, I remember somebody. Verse 11, he says, there is a man in thy kingdom. Yes, there is a man in whom is the spirit of the gods, holy gods. And in the days of your father, there was a crisis. She was recounting what had happened. In the days of your father, look, light and understanding. Light and understanding. Yeah? And wisdom. Like the wisdom of the gods was found in him. Huh? Yes. There is a man. The queen got up in your father's time. But his father was Nebuchadnezzar. He said, there is a man. There is a man. You are that man. He said, there is a man in thy kingdom. And in the days of thy father, light. And understanding. And wisdom. Like unto the wisdom of the gods. Was found in him. It will be found in you too. Yeah. Whom thy father, even the king Nebuchadnezzar, made the master of the magicians. You are declared the master of magicians and wizards and witches. Master of wizards. That's your destiny. compare with this. It's so inferior. All of them will be there. Astrologers, soothsayers, economists, what have you want. Can never compare. And he says, in those days, thy father made him the master, the master. This wisdom is it has mastery over economics. That's why God blessed his children. He told them, he blessed, he said, you shall lend and you shall not borrow. That, you see, all people who lend are rich. All people who borrow are poor. And borrowing makes you poorer. And this is what he blessed the Israelites. That's all they've done. They are the money lenders of the world through Europe, through the centuries. When my book comes out, you see all is there. They lent money and lent money and lent money and lent money. They own the whole of Europe. It's the wisdom. It says, there was a man in thy kingdom in the days of thy father. I was there. I was watching with him. In whom was found light. Understanding. He's around. The guy is in the house. He's in the house. Let's go and get him. Understanding. Wisdom living like the wisdom unto the cause. Whom thy father, even thy father the king, made the master. You will be a master of economics and all these kind of people. That's the kind of wisdom we are talking about. We're not talking about, I mean, motivational, whatever. We're not talking about banking. We're not talking about financial engineering. We are talking about light, understanding, wisdom. There is a man. Verse 12, beautiful. For as much as an excellent spirit, you are receiving an excellent spirit. And knowledge. When you go home with your Macarius, you are going home with knowledge. And understanding. Yeah, that is all that these things seek to do. You may ask, what is the reason for these materials? Look, it has been my dream all along. Anybody who comes to a conference will go with a library of books. I've done every kind of engineering to make it possible. Yes, because it's not a business. Yeah. You read a book like those who forget, those who leave you, those who accuse you. It says, for as much as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting of dreams, showing of hard sentences, things that people don't want to say. Whenever you hear somebody saying hard things, this is that type of wisdom. It says hard things like, don't say that. It's true, but don't say it. Is there? It's an excellent spirit. People don't want to say it like that. Dissolving of doubts. When like, is it good to criticize or it's not good to criticize? The doubts are dissolved. All your questions about is it loyalty, is it a cult, is it good, is it for those who forget, those who live, is it good or bad, can we not live, can we not do what, all these things, dissolving of doubt, declaring of hard sentences. Yesterday we saw the anointing says, and they shall build. Like, it's so clear. You not be confused about building. You're supposed to build if you're anointed. You're supposed to preach if you're anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me for preaching. His anointing is preach, not goosebumps. To be sent. Wow. Dissolving of doubts. And Daniel 5:12, please. Daniel. Yeah. We're found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show. You will be called. People will be calling for you. Say, let's call this guy. Let's call this guy. Let's call this guy. You'll be called for. You will be called for. Is it not amazing? I love it. I hope you love it as Daniel chapter 1. Verse 4. This is the story of the king and the people that came to work for him. You'll be working for kings. Amen. Children in whom there was no blemish, well favored. Ah, well favored means liked. You'll be liked. Amen. Skillful in all wisdom. These are the kind of boys that were being called, not ignoramuses. A lot of people who have not read books. You are standing in a well-booked ministry. It's a booked ministry. Well-booked. There's a book for everything. Yes. There's a book for miracles. Well-booked. Cunning in knowledge. How to amplify your ministry. How to transform your ministry. Which had understanding in science. And such has had ability to stand in the king's palace. This is, again, I was telling you, there are people who can work in your presence and out of your presence. This is four guys who are like that. In whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So they wanted to give them some type of food, and they said, we don't eat pork. They had only pork chops, mostly. But they said, we don't want to eat that food. Let us eat our own Jewish food. And God blessed them. And look at verse 17, these four children. And as for these four children, God, you see, it's not from anywhere. This is the wisdom that comes from above. God gave them knowledge and skill. These four children. God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. God is giving you knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. You are receiving skill in knowledge and skill in wisdom. Verse 19, I love it. And the king communed with them. And among them all was none found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king. Like, they were wise. And they were made to stand before the king. But look at verse 20. This is the crowning scripture. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better. You will be 10 times better than the nearest person. 10 times better than all the magicians and all the astrologers. Your ministry is 10 times better than any whatever. Ten times better. Receive the wisdom that makes you 10 times better. One day, I was invited to speak, give a lecture. It's the first time I've ever been invited to give a lecture in a university. I didn't even really know what it meant. They said I should come and speak on whatever. I said, no problem, I'll be there. When I went, I found out that there were 3 of us speaking. The first person speaking was the CEO of Mercedes-Benz Worldwide. Yeah. And then the second person was yours truly, myself. And then the third person was the CEO worldwide of Tata Motors. The top guy from this. So the people were wondering why I am there. Where do I come in? God gave him understanding and skill in learning. And he was 10 times better. I was there. These were the people that I was speaking with. And you see, the chancellor of the university explained to the people. He said, look, few organizations have started from Ghana and have become a worldwide whatever. And he saw us in different countries. And he introduced me better than my own pastors. Somebody who doesn't go to church. It's amazing. He doesn't go to church. He took 20 minutes to introduce me. Yes. I was amazed at his insights. Yes. Yeah. He introduced me better than many of my pastors would introduce me. Yeah. Explained who I was. People will not understand how you come to be in certain places. Yes. You'll be called for. And you'll be declared the master of the magicians. Now, this wisdom that I'm sharing about is mysterious. It's mysterious. You see, when you talk about things like losing, sacrificing, suffering, and dying, pastors have stopped talking about such topics in the church. Because it's like it makes you lose, you know. It's hidden wisdom. You know, this book used to be called Take Up Your Cross. But when I said, no, I want the message to be very clear. Like when you say take up your cross, it almost sounds like a song. It almost sounds like a song. Take up your cross. Follow Jesus. Take up your cross. Every day.
ashamed to say that you know him.
It sounds like a song.
Count the cost.
Give a volume.
Take up your cross. Follow him. What are you doing for your King? Have you freely given everything to the one who gave his life for you? For you. Now don't you get satisfied just to know he's the one who saved your soul. Have you forgotten what you need to do? What you need to do is to take up your cross, yeah, 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 and follow Jesus. Why don't you take up your cross? Whoa, whoa.
A beautiful song that I thought that no, the title Take Up Your Cross looks too gentle, although it's a very serious thing. So I said, no, let it be clear. When I went to America, a Christian conference in America where they were selling books, the lady, a publishing conference, the lady looked at the book and said, what an awful title. No one will ever buy it. I mean, she blatted it out on the microphone. No one will ever buy a book like this. We have come there for publishing. Said, publishers, I don't think I'll ever go to such a thing again. American book publishing. They are looking for money, not for the word of God. It's money, sales. I didn't write, I don't need sales. I'm preaching the word of God. Jesus said, if you lose your life for me, you will gain it. The Bible says we are not called not only to believe on him, but also to suffer. The Bible says we must sacrifice. We must be a living sacrifice. Dying. Take up your cross. Follow me to where? To a party. To go and die. Yes. Hey. There's nothing more biblical than this topic, but it's hidden wisdom. Shh. How would somebody like me? I mean, I look, I've come to London, I'm speaking to you. I'm going to Ghana, so call me, come to here, Philippines, come to Brazil, come to America, come all over the world. What, is it from my school? No, I gave up all those things and I know I'll be a poor man. Wow, I have so many church members. All I have to say is I need a car. So many people will buy me cars. Even those in the frontier will buy a car. Will you buy a car for me if I need a car? I just have to say that I need a car. You see that the cars are coming. New ones. Yes. When I went to Botswana, somebody gave me a cow. So I have a Botswanian cow. And cows in Botswana are more important than cars. They have chips in them. Each cow has a chip to track them. Yes. They are exported to the EU with chips in them. I'm rich. I have a cow. Wow. It's hidden. The art of hearing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What does it mean? It means that when the Lord is your shepherd, number one, prosperity. I will not need anything. Many of us are not being shepherded by the Lord. That's why we want so many things and we need so many things. When when I preach about the wisdom of the art of hearing, or the lovely voice of God, the lovely voice of God. Look, it's one of the most important wisdom you can ever receive, to know the voice of God. When God, the Holy Spirit says, do this. Look at iron sharpened iron, or give thyself holy, that we are doing. It's the Spirit spoke to me. He said, take your ministry out of lighthouse to other people that are not in lighthouse. And it's not easy to do that. Because first of all, the question is, who are you that you want to teach us something? That's the first question. Who are you? Why should we listen to you? You know, and so on, and it goes on and on and on. But gradually, as we are doing it, see that it's growing, it's working. So many. We have so many board members coming, going, and relationships. Wonderful things. God said to me, as I lay down on a blue carpet, the color of the carpet was blue. I was lying down, I was praying. I was a doctor, and I'd become a businessman, and I was working for God. And the Holy Spirit said to me, as I had my quiet time. Sometimes when people say, God said to me, God said, you ask them, how did God say it to you? Yeah, and I'm telling you, I was having my quiet time, and I finished, I was lying, and then it was impressed on me strongly. Give thyself wholly to these things. Stop everything you are doing, and do only my work. 1990, and I decided, that's it. I had a business, a truck. I went and parked it. I said, it's for sale. I stopped medicine, everything. I said, I belong to God. The first day I came to the office, I created a small office in my father's old office. He wasn't well, so I used his office whilst he was not feeling well. And I just painted the old tables and all that. When I got there, I asked myself, there was nobody. What am I doing? Am I mad? There's nobody here. There's nothing to do. Here is the hospital, just go to work. But the Spirit has told me, give thyself wholly to this thing, and your profiting will appear to all. That's the profiting you are seeing there. Amen. Amen. So I am explaining to you the wisdom that is in these, some of these books, like the Art of Hearing, is hidden. Kenneth Hagin said, he said, the difference between ministers is their ability to hear the voice of God. Yeah, that's what Kenneth Hagin, and I believe it can be proven in Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. He says, if you shall hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, the Lord will lift you above other nations. So other nations are colleague nations, like there's Israel, there's Syria, there's Jordan, there's Egypt, there's this. Now, if you will hearken, diligently listen to the voice of the God who created Earth, Mars, Neptune, Jupiter, Saturn. If you listen carefully to this great God's voice, he will lift you up above all other nations. So being lifted up, the wisdom of being lifted up is the wisdom of being able to hear him speaking to you. And when I say hear him speaking to you, it's not nonsense type of things. You get up today, you are spoiling somebody's church. You say, I don't want to marry again. I don't want this again. God told me I should marry another person. You divorced 7 days later, you are marrying a new person. All kinds of things. No. We're talking about being the maturity. That's this book after the maturity of being led by the Spirit. Even prophets, their role. A prophet is very important. People are spoiling it, but it is a very important thing. The lovely voice of God. The lovely voice of God.
I waited on the Lord to hear his gentle voice.
I waited on the Lord to hear his voice.
For guidance and direction.
For guidance.
Where to go.
And direction. Where to go.
I opened up my heart to know the perfect will of God. His will is what I need. His perfect will.
His perfect will is what I need.
As I spent so many hours,
I spent many hours
in the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
I calmed down and began
I calmed
to
down.
Hear his voice.
When you spend time, you calm down in his presence.
The lovely voice of God, your tender voice revealing the mysteries of your will. At the crossroads of my life, no other voice compares, oh no.
No other voice.
It's the sweetest sound my heart has ever heard.
The lovely voice of God.
The lovely voice.
God saying, go here. Go this way. Go this way. Go right. Go left. The voice. The voice. The voice.
The Spirit entered into me.
Spirit entered into me.
When he spake to me.
When he spake to me.
The words he spoke to me. There were spirits, there were lies.
The words he spoke to me.
The visions and
the dreams. The visions.
Oh, how they turned my life around and gave direction,
direction
for my ministry.
For my ministry. My ministry.
As I rose up from
as
my
feet. As I
knees,
rose up from my feet.
There was a mantle now.
There was
on
now
me.
A mantle on me.
I had found grace for mighty works, and I will never, never be the same.
Never the same when he speaks to you.
The lovely voice of God, your tender voice revealing the mysteries of your will. At the crossroads of my life, no other voice compares, oh no.
No voice.
It's the sweetest sound my heart has ever heard. The lovely voice of God.
That voice.
The lovely
that
voice of God.
That voice.
Your tender
go
voice
there.
Revealing.
Go this way.
The mysteries of your will. At the crossroads of my life, no other voice compares, oh no.
No voice.
It's the sweetest sound my heart has ever heard. The lovely voice of God.
Your life will change. 2 Peter 1, he said, he received glory and honor. When there
the
came such a voice,
voice of God.
What a song. What a song. He received from the Father glory and honor when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. Wow. Years ago, I didn't know anybody. I didn't know anybody. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me as I was watching a video. It wasn't even a video of him, but it was a video from that church. And there I saw Bishop Musa. Young, slim. He had been given the first opportunity in his life to speak to a church by his pastor. He was just a youth or what, I don't know what, and he was, I don't know what he was, but just gave him the opportunity. Come and preach. And I saw it. And I immediately said, well, I want this guy. I don't want a big guy. I want this man. That's it. More than 20 years or 30 years. It's divine. Friendships and divine relationships, they are very important. Some of you are not related because you don't hear the voice of God. That's so important. Bible says every joint supplies something that is necessary for your life. But you don't have the joint that is supposed to supply. You are drying up. You are drying up. The voice of God. The voice of God. Can you hear his voice when he's directing you? When the Spirit gives you relationships, friendships, connections, and you just rubbish it. You don't rubbish such things. It's from God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. If I'm important in your life and you rubbish your connection to me, you're rubbishing yourself. Yes. Nobody is anything without a lot of people contributing to your life. That's why the Bible says, you without us are not made perfect. As you see me here, I'm like an octopus with about 1,000 arms. Instead of 8, I have plans. So many people are connected to me and do things for me. So many, as I'm standing here. If I was to reveal, it would be like I'm revealing ghosts out of the air. The people that are behind me that you can't see, that are working, that work for me as children and as connected to me. Yes. It's divine. Being here and having give thyself full. It was Bishop Francis who God touched his heart. Said, it's a very good thing. Not something that we need to say, oh, yeah, yeah, whatever. He said, it is a very important thing. And he just came. It's fantastic. So, brothers and sisters, this wisdom I'm sharing with you about is like the wisdom of being able to hear his voice. Pray. You see, as the song said, as I spend so much time, I calm down. You see, you are not calm. You are not calm. Sometimes when I go to pray, sometimes it takes me 2 days or 3 days to calm down. Yeah, just to calm down. Yeah. Many of us pastors, we are not calm. You don't know that you are not calm. Always on a WhatsApp, always something happening. You are not calm. And you may be expecting to hear the voice of God, like maybe a voice in your stomach or a voice in the pillow or a voice above your head. But maybe I may speak to you and you don't hear it, or you hear in a message. That's what I'm saying. God has so many ways, but you must be able to pick. This is Holy Spirit speaking to me. That's great wisdom. Once you are out of your place, you are like a fool. You see, take a fish and hold it out of the water. It will, the mouth will be open. Put it in the water. Immediately. Like magic. Once you are out of where God has ordained for you to be, you'll be, your mouth will be open like a stupid fool. Once we put you in where you belong, where God, then suddenly you are like a magician. And what you are doing, you stay under the water. Meanwhile, I can't stay under. You are wilder than a human being. So wild when you just enter where you are supposed to be. And you too, when you go inside the water and you are not supposed to be there, you see, you come and you are like a fool. Because you are not calm. You are out of the place where you are supposed to be. The wisdom of God directing you, say, here, here, stand there. That's it. You start to swim like magic, magic, magic. You see, I'm not having a power convention to heal or to do. I'm just talking to pastors and people who want to work for God. It's like magic. We can go on for days. Every day we come early and close in the evening, from morning to evening. Is it not true? Tell the truth. We have just started. You see, we can be on it. Yeah. Even marriage. A lot of unhappiness is sometimes you are not married to the right person. That's why I only encourage people to have relationship for a long time. One of our sisters, one of the daughters, she was a little girl. And she was in a relationship with her brother. They could quarrel like open in the church, openly. You are this, you too, you are a fool. You are. They are not married, though. They're not married yet. You are this, I'm this, you are this too. Why are you saying stupid? You too stupid. Why are you this? Open, you have not married at all. They were in a relationship. No, have no children. They were just, they were both virgins, or they were virgins. Then one day I said, enough is enough. And I called him. I said, I'm breaking your relationship. You are broken. You are broken. She started crying. She cried and cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. So the brother went his way. She also went her way. And I called her. I said, look, I'm going to send a welder to weld your heart. Your heart will be healed. Don't worry. She said, yes, daddy. So one day, while she was still waiting, I saw another brother. And I said, come, I'll show you somebody. So he came. I was having a crusade. And I said, look in this direction. Do you see in this direction? On the left-hand side over there. You see somebody there. Go and talk. And I said, actually, I had two or three people that night. I said, talk this one. As soon as he saw, he said, oh, this is the one. I like her. Today, she's a meek and mild, humble sister. You see, it was the brother she was married to, relationship, who have brought up all the cantankerous. I think the brother was a little shorter than her. So she was, I don't know whether it was affecting her. But when she entered the right relationship, you should see her now. She's married. Very cool, very nice. A nice missionary's wife. Very nice. No problem at all. You'll be found in the right place. You'll be found in the right relationship. Amen. Please sit down for a moment. A lovely voice. That's the wisdom of God. Now, we also have shepherding. Where is that book? It's called What It Means to Be a Shepherd. Yeah. Right there. What It Means to Be a Shepherd. The wisdom of shepherding. Many pastors are foolish shepherds. The art of shepherding. Transforming your pastoral ministry. That's why I went to Korea, because I wanted to transform my pastoral ministry. Having a mega church as a vision. Church growth, church planting. These are the books. Pastors, you don't read church planting. You are reading economic books. And here is a book on church planting, mega church. Church growth, church planting. Instead of studying these ones 100 times over. Zechariah chapter 11. And the Lord said to me, take unto thee yet the instruments, Zechariah 11 verse 15, the instruments of a foolish shepherd. The instruments of a foolish shepherd. You see, there are many shepherds or pastors in Nigeria, in Yoruba. They don't have a word for shepherd and pastor. A shepherd is called a pastor. Olusho Aguton. It's the same. When you say a shepherd in the field, or you say a pastor, it's Olusho Aguton. It's the same. So when you say, I will take the instruments of a foolish shepherd, it's the same, I'll take the instruments of a foolish pastor. What is the work of shepherding? That's the wisdom that God gave to me. Yes, you see, the way you think is different from the way I think. Yes. You come to church and you see children are happy here. They are screaming. They are excited. You don't have people who are excited and happy. They are not even happy to see you. When you come to the church, they are not happy to see you. I'm happy to see them. They are happy to see me. I like them. Yeah. The four principles of shepherding. PVCI, prayer, visitation, counseling, and interaction. PVCI. That is what these books are about, these ones. The Art of Shepherding is divided into four sections. PVCI. What it means to become a shepherd and transforming your pastoral ministry. And that's the wisdom God gave to me. He said, there was a man in thy kingdom, in him was found light, understanding, wisdom, even like unto the wisdom of the gods. The wisdom of shepherding is the wisdom from God. And he says, I will take unto thee the instruments of a foolish shepherd. I'll show you foolish shepherds. In the next verse, he described a foolish shepherd, four mistakes of a foolish shepherd. Look at verse 16. He says, lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land. It was a punishment he was going to give them to send such a pastor. Look at what he's doing. He says, he shall not visit those that are cut off. Yeah, I'm showing you the instruments of a foolish shepherd. Number two, neither shall he seek the young one. Wow. You, all the people in your church are sleepy old. Like he said, they have sexy eyes. They are always deployed, falling asleep in the church. Instead of having young people, it's like a young one is not good to you because he doesn't have money, he doesn't have a phone, he doesn't have a job, he doesn't sell carpets, he doesn't sell iron rod. So young ones are not important. You say, I will show you the instruments of a foolish shepherd. You should see pastors. One day, I saw two pastors quarreling over a church member who sells curtain materials. That's why I always say curtain materials and all that, because the person was the main seller of curtain materials in Accra. And they were quarreling over that member. But to seek the young one, he says, I will show you the instruments of a foolish shepherd. Do not seek the young one. When God sent me into the First Love Church with all the young children, that was wise shepherding. Wise. That's why I made a song, Ready at 20. I'm ready to serve God at the age of 20. Then he says four things that he's doing. This shepherd is from very beastly shepherd. Look, the fourth thing that is that he does not heal that which is broken. Look, broken people are the people that will be nicer when they are mended. Oh, yes. Sometimes somebody is broken by a problem that he has, but what that problem is that it's an immunization for the future. He's never going to have that problem again because he's had it once and for all. So when somebody is broken, you don't throw the person away. We are looking for broken people. Don't look at rich people, good people, nice people. People, everything is okay. I'll show you the instruments of a foolish shepherd. Foolish shepherd. He does not look for those that have been cut off. They don't come to church. Number two, they don't seek the young one. They leave themselves. This one is a small one. Then they don't heal that which is broken. Now look at it. Neither does he feed that which standeth still. Your life is standing still, like no movement. You are not married. So people laugh at a lighthouse. So they ask for this year. When you go, they will find a husband for you just now. They will find a wife for you. Hey, they like beloveds. We like it. We like that is what we are doing. We are looking for beloveds for people all the time. Hey! Why should they stand still? They can't move forward. As a shepherd, I want them to move forward. I want their business to work. I want their marriage to work. I want their lives to work. One by one. Every Sunday I do counseling with the children. All of them. I say I'm counseling all. One by one. They sit here. I sit here. And then we talk. And you should hear the issues that children have. Hey. One girl came to say, she said, my uncle doesn't like me. I said, what do you mean? She said, oh, and she goes, she has a sister, and he treats her well. He doesn't do this. When she spoke, I almost wanted to cry. She felt so rejected. Then I told her, look, I'm your uncle. I said, give me money. I said, here is money. Go and do shopping. I'm now your uncle, okay? And I prayed for her. You are blessed. Hey! I said, I'm now your uncle. This is your shopping. Go shopping. When you finish, come back. Yes. People are brokenhearted with issues. One young man was crying. He said, I'm a shepherd. They tell me, I'm doing this course. I'm doing this. I'm a shepherd. And Bishop, a pornography, I can't. Then he started to shake. He said, I feel so bad. I can't stop. It's terrible. And he was crying and shaking. I prayed with him. I take pictures with all of them. When I counsel, you sit by me, we take a picture. Or everybody. Counseling, we take pictures and I lay hands on them. I have to lay hands on you several times every year. That's my sheep. I want to lay hands. The more I lay hands, the wiser you will become in this life. And lay hands on everybody. Lay hands on everybody. Several times a year. A person, the number of good hands that have been laid on you reflects in what how your mind is, what is working in you. You need more. The wisdom of shepherding. The wisdom of shepherding. The wisdom of shepherding. Anyway, you see, pastors, they don't even respect such topics. You pass by and buy economy with how to be a millionaire, how to do this, and you are never becoming a millionaire too. These sheep that are with me, look, many of them, they were with me from zero. I knew Ida singing. I visited her when she was in university. Yes, I visited you also. This one from Mozambique. I visited them. Many of them, I would go into the school and look for them. I visited them. She was nobody. She had nothing. Yeah, that's why I knew them. It's not a recent, oh, this one just came around and became a star. You don't understand what is going on. Oh, this one was in medical school. These are all of them. I came to Dr. Go's room in school when I was in medical school. Visited people. That's why you don't have people. The young one is not valuable to you. But they are valuable to me. I like the young one. That's the one that is going to be. Yeah, look at this one. This is the son. This is the son of this bishop. This is the son. And he's shouting to me that he likes me. Yes. And he's always texting me and I'm also replying. I like young ones. But you don't like young ones. Zachariah, go back to verse 15. He said, I will show, the Lord said, take unto thee the instruments of a foolish shepherd. Instruments of a foolish shepherd. Verse 16. For lo, I will, go to raise up such a shepherd. He will not visit those who are cut off. He will not seek young ones. He will not heal. God, the young one don't have a phone. Sometimes I get texts. This is sister, whatever, using so-and-so's phone because I don't have a phone. So this is from, but it's so-and-so's phone, but from me. Because I don't have a phone. Wow. The young ones. Is it not beautiful? Is it not amazing? They don't visit the young one. They don't heal that which is broken, nor feed that which standeth still. I can't stand people standing still around me. I need them to move in their lives. Yes. So even though you may criticize me and say, why are you always looking, beloved? Oh, it's my standard question. My first question, are you happy? Is everything okay? Everything okay? Huh? You got to move. Standing still. No. So when is your engagement? Most of my young people, I encourage them to marry during the Harmattan. The weather is very cold. It's good for marriage. Receive a Harmattan wedding in the name of Jesus. It's nice to be a shepherd, though. You must love, it's a beautiful job. You must love the people. Yes. You must love the people. One of the young people was being asked, so which church are you going to go to? Are you going to go to, they were asking, are you going to go to some of them, the pastor's children and other children? Not only pastors, but other people's children. So one was being asked, are you going to go to your father's church now that you have come? He said, oh no, I'm going to go to First Love. And so they asked, why are you going to go to First Love? I said, when I'm in First Love, I feel important. The way the grown-ups are, I feel I'm nothing. But when I'm in First Love, I put that I'm important. Like, I'm a young person, but I'm important. You are important in the name of Jesus. Ready at 20. You can be ready at 20.
I'll be ready at 20, ready for the war.
Hey, Numbers chapter 1, verse 20.
I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God. There is nothing I can do, for the Lord. There is nowhere that's too far. No battle I can't fight. Ready at 20.
Listen.
Let's give ourselves.
These are the words of William Carey, the great
missionary. To this glorious mission, unreservedly.
That's William Carey speaking.
Let us never think.
These are his words.
That our time, our strength, our families are our own.
He was going to India. This is what he said.
Let us dedicate them all to God and to his work. Let us give ourselves wholly, that our profiting may appear. Ready at 20.
William Carey.
I'll be ready at 20, ready for the war. Ready at 20. I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God.
Listen again, William Carey speaking. Come on.
We justified in staying
here. Are we justified to stay?
While so many are perishing without means of grace in other lands, we must take every chance of doing good to the lost. Oh yeah.
We must do it.
We'll be laboring, we'll be traveling day and night.
This is what William Carey wrote. These are his
ready
words.
At 20.
These are his words. A great man. A great
I'll
man.
I'll be ready at 20, ready for the war. We must instruct
William Carey.
We must teach, exhort, rebuke, and preach the word with all long suffering and an anxious desire for the lost. We must be instant in prayer for the pouring out of the sweet Holy Spirit upon all the people. Ready at 20.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll be ready at 20, ready for the war.
When he went to India, he never came back again.
Ready at 20.
30 years.
I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God.
Now listen, this is Adoniram Judson speaking. Adoniram Judson, the missionary to Burma. from America, the first. Listen to him. This is what he said.
Surely it is worthwhile.
It is worthwhile
to push ourselves with all our might in promoting the gospel and the kingdom of our Christ. Ready at 20.
Wow.
I'll be ready at 20, ready for the war.
Surely it's worthwhile.
Ready at 20. I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God.
Adoniram Jackson, listen carefully. Great people are speaking.
God is gracious.
Adoniram, God is gracious.
Do not run away from him.
Don't run away from God. That's what he said.
A few more days.
A few more days.
And our work down here will be done.
Wow.
When it's done for eternity.
When it's done, it's done.
Your life spent is irrevocable. It remains to be contemplated, yeah, through all eternity. Ready at 20. Yeah. I'll be ready at 20, ready for the war. Ready at 20. I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Hallelujah. Wow. Your life, when it's spent, is spent for eternity. And it remains to be contemplated throughout eternity what you've done. Amazing. These are heroes. Yes. And Moses added, Moses, William Carey, the words of those sons, William Carey, Adoniram Jackson, and Moses. Moses said, those who are 20, they should go to war. 20, it's okay. Yes. Hallelujah. You may be seated. What a blessing. Now, I'm talking about wisdom. Yes, I'm showing you there are different ways pastors think. And God is showing us the wisdom of his work. And the wisdom of the work of God is the wisdom of shepherding. Wisdom of caring for people. Visiting. God recently gave me a master revelation for visitation. Yes, which I'm not going to share here. Yes. I tell you. Now, the wisdom that you find of the top 10 mistakes that pastors make in their lives, top 10 mistakes, you find out that in these top 10 mistakes, you see that many pastors are making the same mistakes because they are thinking in a particular way. Amen. Are you with me? Yeah. Now, if you look carefully, you will see the first mistake, the top 10 mistakes. You can read it in the book. It's a very small book. Being slow about ministry. Yeah. Being slow is a very important common mistake. You know, when you are going to obey God, obey him quickly because things change fast. Being slow about the work of God is one of the top mistakes. I remember years ago I came to London, I met a brother. He told me before he came from Ghana, before I even came there, that he was going to start a church here. And I told him, look, when I saw him, he was doing various things. So we are doing this, we are doing that. I told him, look, if you are going to start a church, start it now. Because it takes a long time for things to work. You know, so you need to be fast, and you don't know how long you are going to live, you know, and how much time you have before you'll be declared whatever. your time is over. So one of the top 10 mistakes is slowness. Chapter 1, being slow. Ecclesiastes 9:11 says that, "For I came to understand that the race is not to the swift, the battle to the strong, bread to the wise, riches to men of understanding, not yet favor of men of skill, but time and chance happen to all." So what he's saying is that I know that the race are won by the fastest. Battles are won by the strongest. Bread is given to wise people. Riches are given to people who have understanding. And favor or being chosen is given to men of skill. But there is something that neutralizes all of those things, and that is time and chance. But this thing actually gives you the five or seven or whatever principles of life. Speed is very important if you are going to win the race. You have to be fast. Somebody asked me, "Brother Doug, take your time. Take your time." I should take my time about what? How can I take my time when the clock is going? Psalm 63 verse 8 says that, "My soul followeth hard after thee." I am a hard follower. Hard, not slow follower. Hard. So a great mistake that many of us have makes, I'll do this. The other day I was praying, the Lord just impressed on my heart, "Look, everything you have, just put it in now." Yes, put it all in now. Yes, put it all in and put it in now. Just put it all in. Don't hold back anything. Everything you have, give it now. Use it, do it. Amen. So being slow is a deadly mistake. So being slow is the wisdom of a failure. But the wisdom of God is showing you here, the race is to the swift. It's not to the swift because it can be canceled by time and chance, but it is fast. The one who is fastest in the running 100, Usain Bolt, they win. They win. The strongest wins the fight. These are what we call the determinants. Bread is given to wise people. Skill, men of skill are the ones who are chosen. If you can sing, you'll be chosen. If you can sing, dance like Michael Jackson, your album will be chosen. When people are buying, they'll choose you, yours. They'll choose your song, they'll choose your things. If you are skilled at doing something or caring for someone, you may be chosen to do that work. Whatever you are skilled at, it gives you favor. Skill, men of skill have favor. When you are good at managing, you'll be chosen. Favor means you've been favored or you've been chosen. You are not chosen because you have no skill. Men of skill are chosen. So speed makes people win. Being slow is the wisdom of a phlegmatic, a tortoise. "I'll take my time. Waiting man will see before." Yes. "I'm slow but sure." The second terrible mistake, which is again the wisdom, negative wisdom of those who don't do well, is the top 10, this is my book, top 10 mistakes that pastor make, is downplaying the importance of sacrifice. Today, people have downplayed the importance of sacrifice. I remember I was in London, I was actually playing golf when the Holy Spirit whispered to me on the golf course, "Preach tonight about sacrifice." Where's Daniel? I was working with this Daniel when the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I was with him. Yeah. "Preach tonight." I became a bit confused as I was playing the golf because I have not preached about sacrifice before. Preach about sacrifice today. Those of you in London who have been around for some time, I had a convention called Sacrifice. Yeah, that was it. I said, "Hey, what sacrifice? The pastors don't preach about sacrifice. You preach to your people to give up their life. You rather always tell them they are going to get money, they are going to get car, they are going to be this, they are going to have this. Don't tell people to give up their lives. That has brought great poverty to the church, great deficiency. We are not as we should be. All this type of prosperity preaching has made us not be able to do anything. And other religions are taking over the world, and we are watching it on BBC and CNN and complaining every day as Christians. They are prepared to die. They want to die. You want to live. Which religion has a founder who went somewhere to die intentionally? Which religion? Which religion has a founder? The founder of that religion went somewhere to die. Like he knew that when he goes here, he will die. When you go and do something that makes you die, what is it called in English? Suicide. So which religion had somebody who did suicide? Christianity, not any other religion. Not killing other people, himself. And we are the opposite of Christianity. Hey! Save yourself and get as much as you can and have much and become this and that. That is why there's nothing. Because prosperity comes from the Lord. What is it that thou hast that thou didst not receive? What is it that thou hast that thou did not receive? You receive it. Wow. Is it amazing? Is it fantastic?
It's fantastic.
So stop downplaying. Get this book. Soak it in as your favorite book until you start to preach it. It has to be before you preach it. Tell your people to sacrifice. Yes. You must believe in it. One day I was laying hands on people in the church, and I got to a certain lady. When I laid hands on her, I started crying. You know why I was crying? She was in the university. I could sense, what does it mean to be called to the ministry? And what problems does it bring into your life? Because you are called. Your life is changed. So I started crying. Crying is one of the signs of the Holy Spirit. I can show you. Weeping. To serve God is a great sacrifice. Pastors cannot preach it. They don't believe in it. It's not in the heart. You can read verses and say, take up your cross and follow me wheresoever, that you don't believe it. Churches are filled with people. You can't send even one person. That's why he said we cannot have service here at 7. Why can't we have service at 7? The whole place is full. Whole place is full. Standing, the people are standing already. We can have at 7. Church downplaying sacrifice has destroyed the church. 1 Corinthians 1:18, the preaching of the cross is the power. There is an element. When you take it out, you've taken away the life and the power. A certain brother, he was having sex with a lot of girls. He had so many girlfriends. So he really felt as like a macho man. Because he was like a powerful cockerel who was going from hen to hen. With his iron rods. Is that from Botswana? What's his name? Cabo, Pastor Cabo. Oh, okay. I didn't know you were here. That's one of our Botswana pastors. Anyway, so he was going around from hen to hen. Now, when he got married, after 1 year, there was no child. 2 years, there was no child. And he still saw himself as a macho power bank. 3 years, no man. So they decided to go and do a test. When he did a test, he was surprised. A particular element was not in his sperms. And that is the sperm itself, the seed. As for the water, so every time he was ejaculating, it was more like orange juice or water. Something was coming out. Hey! But see, the actual thing that brings the life, that particular, but the water and all those things were there. You see, so everything looked normal. Everything was normal and looked normal, and the Jews said everything was normal. Just that alone. So when he was told, you don't have even one sperm, he could not believe it. He said, but I've been releasing sperms. I said, it's not sperms, it's water, it's juice, it's something, but it's this element, it's missing. He could not believe. You see, we have the church. Oh, there's buildings, people, songs, worship leading, everything, but no sacrifice. Just that sacrifice, you take it out of the church. It turns us into a barren group of people. Good for nothing. Number three, downplaying the importance of humility is the third mistake, mistaking wisdom. Humility is very important. Amen. You cannot learn. Look at the pastor, Bishop Moses Asono. His church, look, if you see his church, you see that your church is like... Even the choir is even big for your church. Your church is small. It's sitting here. It's been sitting here for 3 days. You should see Apostle Mapuse's church. Huge. People are humble. One person told me, he said, look, he was telling me about some pastors. He said, look, they need what you are saying, but pride, not let them receive pride. Pride. When you have to learn from something, God shows you, look at this cow, follow this cow. Say, oh, I can't follow. Who is that? Humble thyself by the side of the Lord. You shall live. Downplaying the importance of humility. We don't have sermons on humility. That's why I wrote this very important book. Where is it? Formula for Humility. Formula for Humility. It's one of the most important books I ever wrote. Jesus said the greatest is not the apostle. Neither is he the one who wins more souls. Billy Graham is not the greatest. The greatest person you will find when you go to heaven is not Billy Graham or Kenneth Hagin, but the humble person. So if they are humble, they will be the greatest. That's it. Not that they won souls. It's a formula for greatness. Wow. Are you listening to me? What a blessing. The fourth is receiving honor from men. It's a very terrible mistake in the spirit. Receiving honor from men. Somebody has to say, I like your word today. I like your word. Pastor, God bless you. God bless you. I like the way you spoke, you preach. You see, that's the key of prosperity. Tithing and giving seed is the key, master key. I love that word. It has an appeal to my spirit. Downplay. Jesus said, I receive not honor from men. I preach, I don't care. You don't like my preaching. It's okay. Look, long ago, you know, one day I was sitting, this is how it happened. I was sitting in church and a pastor preached a very unfortunate and poor sermon. When he finished preaching his unfortunate and poor sermon, he came to sit down and people got up to shake his hand and said, oh, that was powerful. And I realized that thing, when people tell you after preaching that it's powerful, you should never listen to it again. Never listen. I decided from that day, this is the end of that thing. So from that time, I don't look for somebody who say, that was a powerful message, I was blessed. You don't have to be blessed, you don't have to be powerful, nothing. I am looking to God. Yes. I receive not honor from men. John 5:41. I don't receive respect from men. Men don't, not what makes me great. The fifth mistake is ignoring the words of Jesus. You get it all in the book. Ignoring the words of Jesus. Jesus' words, you know, the most strange place you can find the words of Jesus is in the church. Yeah. This is all this wisdom. Receive not honor from men. And ignoring the words of Jesus said, lay not up for yourself treasures on earth. What are we doing? We are laying up more treasures on earth. Our sermons are how you can get more treasures, how you can take more treasures. Number six, becoming disconnected from God. I am the vine, you are the branches. That is the sixth unfortunate poor wisdom that we are taking. Working without being connected to God. Working without being connected to God. The seventh form of bad wisdom, which is not leading to, is choosing to bear few fruits. Like you are working for God and it gets up to a point and you are okay with it. It's like this small one is all right. We made songs. We are making more songs. We preach. We are having more preaching. We have conference. We are having more. We have in one country. We are having in two countries. Most pastors are happy to just stay where they are because that small one you are doing has worked and you just stay with it. I want more. I want more nations. Bishop Richard, you cannot tell me the Caribbean islands are full. No, not at all. There are more islands. There are about 200 islands there, if you don't know. If there are 5,000 people on an island, we will be there in Jesus' name. 5,000 is a lot of people. Yes. Choosing to bear few fruits is the choice of a phlegmatic man who will not even change the bulb in the house, who doesn't want to prosper, doesn't want to make his family prosper. He's got one car, it's okay. And number eight, having wrong priorities. Wrong priorities. And number nine, turning into a Pharisee. And number 10, there are about 20 symptoms of a Pharisee, what it means to be a Pharisee, all over this book. Pharisee. And number 10, laying up treasures on earth instead of laying up treasures in heaven. Amen. Jesus said, or they said about Jesus, what wisdom is this that such mighty works are wrought by us? Stand to your feet, everybody. Lay your hands on your head and begin to ask God for divine wisdom from the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Keep praying, keep praying, keep talking to God. Keep talking to God. Your destiny, your ministry.
Father, lift your hand and receive your blessing. Whatever is foolishness is replaced by wisdom. Amen. Receive the grace to do mighty works. Amen. May your destiny be fulfilled. Amen. Whatever Christ apprehended you for, may you apprehend that thing. May your calling not be wasted. Amen. May your calling be established. Amen. And may the blessing of the Lord, the anointing, the presence of God multiply on your life from this time onwards. In the name of Jesus, you are declared 10 times better than anyone in your category. In the name of Jesus, receive the grace of God. Lift up your hand and thank God for His mercy and His power.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Just lift up your hands and bless the Lord. Thank the Lord. Great things have happened. Greater things are on the way. Keep thanking the Lord. Keep blessing the Lord. Keep blessing the Lord. What a conference. What a conference. What a blessing. God sent His servant to minister to us. We are so blessed. Your life and your ministry will never be the same. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Wow. Clap your hands for Jesus. We want to say a big thank you for... wisdom, light, clarity, understanding. What a blessing. Knowledge we have received from Bishop this morning. And I tell you that our lives will not be the same again.